Welcome to Jubilee Christian Church International, Chapel of Victory, Durham, North Carolina. Thank you for listening to this message. For more information about Jubilee, please visit us online at jubileenc.org or call us at 919-484-0707.
To comprehend the dimension of the love you have for the world. Lord, that in our heart this love will explode. We will show the same love to the world and to each other. We give you the glory, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Come on, turn to someone and say Merry Christmas to you. I celebrate the Lord in your life. Amen. You may be seated. I want to say Happy Merry Christmas to everybody in the church. As we observe today to recognize the birthday of the Lord, if we were to look at his physical age on earth, he is about 20,019 years old. Hello, are you getting the calculation? If we were to calculate the extent of his physical presence here, is the oldest of the old. In time of eternity, he has no beginning. He's the God of all ages. He never diminishes. This morning, I'm not going to take much of your time just to recount and remind you the wonders of his love. It was like a meeting happened in heaven. Three people were in that conversation. The angels were not invited because it was not their decision. The creation had lost its way, and God saw it. Instead of giving up and say, well, they are done, we are done, we can create another set of beings. So this meeting held in the innermost part of heaven, far and far in the galaxy. And the decision was, we're not going to send an angel because they cannot share their feelings. So who do we send? One of the three persons in that committee, in that meeting, said, here I am, send me. How are we going to send you? Do we drop you from heaven so that you can rescue them and snatch them? How do we send you? They send me as a baby so I can share their humanity. I can feel their pain. I can walk in their midst. And if possible, at the climax of my existence on earth, I will take their place. I will die for them. That is the wonders of his love. This morning, I want to speak to you about the immense love of God. In John chapter 3, verse number 16, if you could put my first slide, the very first slide, I want to show something in that first slide. The very first slide. The very first slide. The wonders of his love. The Creator came from the galaxy far away. He is the divinity to become the Savior and share in humanity. This process was only possible because of the wonders of his love. Amen. Turn your Bible very quickly to John chapter 3, verse number 16. You know the scripture, you can actually read it from memory. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Many of us here seated this morning, we love people who love us back, and those who treat us well. Some will not sacrifice anything for no one except there's something in it for them. We call that conditional love. The birth of Jesus tells the outstanding story of God's love. This love personified in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Through the birth, God revealed and demonstrated His wonderful love for mankind. This love is a unique one. What made God to come down to share in our humanity? That John chapter 3 verse 16 tells us. So there are five things about this love if you want to write them for yourself. Number one, in that scripture it says, God's love is divine. For God so loved the world, God Himself initiated the process of loving the mankind. He knows where we are needy. He knows where we fail. He initiated it. He was an initiative of the Lord Himself. So this love is divine. It is sincere. It is genuine. It is lasting. Number two, we see that this love is unconditional. He loved the whole world. He didn't love those who are good alone. He loved those who are wicked. He loved the sinners. He loved those who are outrageously wicked and mean. He loved those who turned their back against Him. He loved those who even yell at Him. He loved those who crucified Him. It was such a love. It is unconditional. It wasn't love because of what we've done. In fact, it's because of what we failed to do. It is love that is universal. It loved the whole world. All races, all colors, all ethnics, all tribes, all people. People who are good, people who are mean, people who are heartless and evil. He loved the world all. Amazingly, He loved you in particular. Can you tell someone say He loved you in particular? Personally, He loves you. Number three, this love is a demonstrating love. God doesn't just love and talk about it. He acted it. He loved by giving. You can give without love, but you cannot love without giving. He loved the world and He gave one something precious, something important in all eternity. He gave Himself. He gave His best for us. He demonstrated the love. And this love is redeeming love. The purpose of God sending Jesus to the world is to save us from ourselves. I was thinking this morning of this relationship. Think of a father and a child. The father warned the boy not to do certain things because he would get into trouble. The boy refused, disobeyed, and got into trouble. So this is the boy who was taken and arrested and ready to face judgment. And the father went out that whatever price that needs to be paid for that thing my son did, I will pay it. Instead of the boy getting punishment, the boy got mercy. It was the story of two young brothers who were living together. One was mean, the other one was love. Was very kind. The one that was bad boy, he got into trouble from time to time. He goes around, play truancy. And one particular time, he got into trouble. He was in a fight with someone. And during the fight, he killed the fellow he was fighting with. And the blood of that person spilled on his body. He ran for his life. The police were after him. They chased him. He ran to the family, to their house, where his other brother, loving, kind, good, was there, not making any trouble. As he ran inside the house, slammed the door. He said, "Brother, I made a mistake. I killed someone. You could see my body. The blood of this fellow is on my clothes." And before long, the police were at the door, knocking the door, banging the door. "We will force this door open. If we know the offender is in there." And the young man didn't know what to do. He knew that what that means in that community. You're going to be killed too. So suddenly his younger brother told him, "You know what? What we're going to do is take off your clothes. Remove it completely." He said, "But they know I did it. They know I did." He said, "Just follow my instructions." The boy took the clothes. The good brother removed his own jacket and said, "Where am I?" And he took the bloody clothes of his brother and he put it on. He opened the door. Of course, the door was opened. Without much ado, The police went for, because they saw the evidence. Say, yeah, you can take me. So they took the innocent brother who didn't do the stuff. The guilty brother was just looking and couldn't believe what his eyes were saying. What did you, brother? I don't understand. They took him. Took him to the court. Tried him. And of course, the judgment was he was to be executed. On the day of the pronouncement of judgment, his brother could not believe his eyes. He was in the crowd and was looking how his brother, who was innocent, took his place because of the bloodied clothes. The verdict was he was going to be executed. On the day of carrying out the verdict, they took the innocent brother while his brother was following the crowd. Say, brother, you have time to change your mind. You didn't do this. I was the one saying, no, don't worry, I did it. So they took him and they executed him. Yeah. On the way where he was being executed, he told his brother, I said, well, I am dying for you. You go live for me. Carry my memory on. So when he was executed, gone, over. His guilt was still haunting him. He couldn't live with himself. He went to meet the judge, said, no, you killed the wrong man. You killed the wrong man. He took my place. I was the one who did it. This is even the quote. He narrated the whole story. The judge was convinced, but said, it's too late. The crime can only be punished one time. You are free. Free to live your life. That's what Jesus did for us this morning. Are you with me, church? Innocent. He didn't do it. We did it. His love was redeeming. His love is rewarding. This morning, as we're looking at the immense love of God, there are many of us who have faced dislike and rejection from others. I want to say to you this morning, God loves you immensely. It doesn't matter how people feel about you. What God felt about you yesterday is the same way he's feeling about you today. He loved you last year. He loved you this year. His love don't wane. His love don't diminish. So no matter who rejected you, your God, your Father, your Creator never rejects you. For those of us who don't even like ourselves, you know there are people who don't even like themselves. You find it difficult to even love yourself. Maybe you've done something bad and you cannot forgive yourself. This love of Jesus, this love of God covers you. Maybe the devil is whispering to your ears right now that you are facing this problem in your life because God does not love you. It's a lie. It is not true. And no, sometimes God has to discipline us and punish us for things, but it's not because he doesn't love us. God's love is immense. Go to the next slide. Someone says this was a quote. There is nothing you can do to make God to love you more. There is nothing you can do to make God to love you less. Next one. Please go to that quote. Nothing you can do to make him love you more. Nothing you can do to make him love you less. His love is unconditional, impartial, everlasting, infinite, and perfect. Jeremiah 31 verse number 3. Let's look at that scripture very briefly. I won't take much of your time this morning. Jeremiah 31 verse 3 says, the Lord has appeared of old unto me, saying, I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn thee. The love God has for us is it's an everlasting love. Do you wake up some morning that you don't even feel loved? Anybody have had that experience? Is there any day you wake up sometimes and think, you know what, I don't even know what God is thinking about me today because of the things I did, because of the mistake I made? Hear this quote. There is nothing you can do to make him love you more. There is nothing you can do to make him love you less. His love is constant. It does not change. It does not reduce for time or eternity. It is a wondrous love. It's a love beyond comprehension. It's a love that's unexpected. It's a love that's unequaled. It's a love that's unparalleled. Nobody can love you like this. Not your mom, not your spouse, nobody. It is the love of God. Romans 5:7. Say, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yes, peradventure, for a good man, some will even dare to die. But Jesus died for us. When you think about the love, the wonders of his love, it baffles the angel. Why God so much loved us? He didn't die for angels, even though they also fell. One of the disappointments of the devil and why he hates humans so much is that, well, we've made mistakes, we fell like them. Why did nobody die for us and he died for these useless folks? The devil hates us with passion because he could not explain why God redeems man and did not redeem the devil. Are you with me, church? It is love for humanity. Scientists tell us there are billions and billions of galaxies. It amazes me when you read science and they tell us that this world you're talking about is just like a drop in the whole plan of God. That our own Milky Way, our own galaxy, has actually billions of other stars. Each star represents the size of some stars are bigger than the Earth. You know this in science. And since mankind started, people have been trying to figure out where is life. Where is life elsewhere? There is no life elsewhere, only on Earth. Why? Because God loved us. He loved us so much that he gave his son to take our place. He didn't die for angels. He died for us. So this morning, as we think about the love of God, the wonders of his love, what then must we do if we are going to follow after him? The one thing we must do, therefore, is to demonstrate that love to each other. To love one another. To love him, to love ourselves, to love our fellow human beings. Someone says, if you want to spell joy correctly, J-O-Y, you have to start with Jesus first. Then others next. Then yourself last. Then you have real joy. The problem is, many of us, how do we spell our own joy? Y-O-J. Pronounce that for me. Spell that for me. Call that out. George. Do you want to rejoice? You beat Jesus first. Others next. And you come last. Then you will have joy. It is love that makes the world go round. The world needs it. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Love is needed in every family. In the workplace. In the church. Many hearts are empty of love. They don't know what it is. Many people have not received this kind of love. What they hear every day is hatred, is rejection. That is their daily experience. But God is saying today, how do we respond to such love? Very quickly, four things, very briefly. 1 John chapter 4, verse 11. If you can see that in the scripture, 1 John 4:11. He said, beloved, if God loved us this way, we ought also to love one another. If God demonstrates such immense love for us, if God loved us so much like this, what do we do for each other? Love one another. I want you to hold that person you are sitting next and say, I love you. Oh, come on. Some of us even have difficulty saying it. I've come to understand some men, we struggle with saying, I love you to my wife. Have you noticed that? It is easy for me, women to say, hey, darling, I love you. Man, that word seems to be a big problem for us. Am I talking to real men here? Come on, men, say, I love you to your wife. She knows already. She knows I love her. She knows you need to say it. It's a word that is needed in every family. Without this word, love, the world is in chaos and confusion. It's one of the most essential commodities you can think about on earth. Is the supreme thing. And that is one thing that God himself is made of. It's made up of love. Who says he has seen God? If you have not demonstrated love, you have not met him. Love is the definition of Christianity. The center of who we are is about love. It doesn't matter what gift you carry, what grace you carry. If there is no love in your life, you've missed the purpose of his coming. Love is the center of it all. Hallelujah. If you're in this house this morning, I pray the Lord will fill your heart with that love. Oh, come and say the Lord will fill your heart with that love. Your life is empty if love is not present. It doesn't matter how beautifully you dress. God sees you naked without love. Love is the center of it all. And we struggle many times to love. One of the things God did for us when we gave our life to Christ, the very first thing He did for us, is to give us the ability to love. He says the Holy Spirit has shed the love of God abroad in our hearts. We find it difficult as human beings to love the way we should. It takes the Holy Spirit to do it right. May you be filled with love this morning. So how should we love? Four ways we must love. Number one, we must love unconditionally. We must love people unconditionally. Don't love people because of what they do for you or they fail to do. Love those who hate you. Love those who don't like you as well. Is that possible? We must love people without preconditions. If you do this, I will do this for you. If you kiss me, I will kiss you back. If you smile, I will smile. Loving people unconditionally, that is the kind of way God demonstrated that love. John chapter 15, verse 12, Jesus said, "This is my commandment. This is my commandment." You may have read 10 commandments. Say, this one is my commandment. That you love one another as I have loved you. How are we to love each other? The way Christ loved us. How did He love us? He loved us unconditionally. When we were not good, He loved us. When we were not nice, He loved us. This love was waiting patiently for us. He didn't throw us out. He didn't quit on us. He didn't give up on us. When we gave our life to Christ, we were crawling in our mess. But He cleaned us up. He kept loving us. There are people in your life who are running your patience down. You couldn't handle it. Say, you know, I don't have time for all this. You need to have that kind of love. Don't quit on people. Keep loving them. Are you with me? There are people around our life who we would love to hate. Is it possible to love everybody? Come on, talk to me. It's the truth. There are people in your job. When you see them, you feel depressed. You don't like to meet them. They are nasty, they are bad. When you give them things, instead of thanking you, they say, who asked you to give it? There are people who, after you have done good things for them, they return evil with you. Is it easy to love such people? But then, we must love them. Love them people unconditionally. Even when they run our patients out, they try and test us out, we must love them. Say, the way I loved you, that is the way you must love others. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each other esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man on the things of others. I say this morning, that love will multiply in your heart. In Jesus' name. People of God, love is a choice we must make deliberately. Sometimes it is tough to show it. When love is absent, selfishness reigns, confusion abounds, disunity, competition, hatred, envy abounds when love is not present. Love covers multitude of errors, overlook faults. That is what love does. Love is not finding fault, looking for fault of others. Love covers it. That's the kind of love we must have for each other. When we are hurting one another, we still love them, notwithstanding. Love makes sacrifices for others. It's willing to lay down its life for others. That is what God loves, how much He loves us. When God wants to measure how much you are, how much strong you are, He measures how much love you have. The measure of your love is the measure of your maturity. When God measures a man, He puts the tape not around his head, but around his heart. How much love do you have? I put a message on the slide this morning. It's a quote. It says, love looks through a telescope. Love, when it looks through a telescope, it's called envy. Excuse me, let me say that again. Love, true, looks through a telescope. Envy looks through a microscope. Does that make sense? Love looks what? Through. Envy looks microscope. Trying to see what is wrong with you. It's a tit for tat. You do me, I do you. High for high. If I nag you enough, you will listen. I will fight you. I will fight back because I won't take nonsense. Let love go around this morning. Love people unconditionally. Look at the person who says, I love you, notwithstanding. Notwithstanding. Whatever it is you've done in the past, I love you, notwithstanding. Amen. One woman was wanting to divorce her husband for a so long, long time. And she went to her pastor to seek advice. And the pastor said, well, you're going to divorce him anyway, so let's make it bittersweet for him. We're going to give him 3 months. Give him 3 months. Where are you going to show love to him? If you want whatever, give him everything. Don't even argue. Love him like never before. Never before in your life. Ah, the woman said, yeah. I said, after that, once he's beginning to enjoy it, you just move on. I said, divorce. He said, that will be very painful. The woman said, yes, Pastor, that's what we're going to do. So every day, the woman will pretend. Tell him what he wants to eat. The darling was going to say, what? She didn't ask me questions like that, like last year. Darling, your food is on the table. Hey, darling, the food is nice. When the man complained, I can cook you another one. The man couldn't believe it. Really? And she was pretending. Darling, let's go to the bedroom. Come on, let's do what you need to do. Oh, darling. And the man said, what? This is life. He was enjoying himself. But surprisingly, the man himself began to notice that something has changed in my wife. Even though the woman was pretending. Just pretend we love him. Just spoil him. First month went by. Second month went by. The woman was consistently doing that love pretense. The third month went by. She didn't even remember to go back to the pastor. The pastor called after more than 3 days. What happened with the divorce? Pastor, I forgot. I thought my husband changed. Everything changed. Because love responds to love. You are waiting for them to start it. Why don't you start it? You say, I won't give them a call. Why don't you call and let's see how you can turn it around? Love makes the world go around. Don't wait until they do their part. You do your part. Love is contagious. Love can go around and make things happen faster than you ever thought. We can change our unkind boss, our difficult spouse, our hateful neighbor through the weapon of love. So number one, our love must be what? Unconditional. Number two, this love must be forgiving. God loved the world so much, and the world does not deserve it. Wicked people, they don't deserve it, but the Son died. We must be forgiving people. Why? Because forgiving people forgive others. If you have been forgiven, you should be generous with forgiveness. No offense cannot be forgiven. The prodigal son squandered the father's stuff, lavished it in a party, and yet the father threw him a party. That is forgiveness beyond comprehension. People offend us daily. Even those who have died offend us. Somebody says, yeah, they offended me 3 years ago. Where is the person? He's dead now. But you still carry your face. People will offend us, but our love must be forgiving. Forgive people who have wronged you. It makes you a better person. Many people have wronged us every day. We face it. But let's forgive. Let's forgive. A husband and wife, I'm giving an example of husband and wife this morning because it talks about this love. He went to the pastor again, who were trying to resolve the problem. They called the pastor every now and then, pastor, resolve this, pastor, resolve that. The pastor was tired. Said, you know what? Okay, you know what I'm going to do, both of you? I'm going to give you book notes. Thank you, sir. I'm going to give you both notebooks. Instead of calling me for every problem, why don't you write the problem there? That is a smart pastor, isn't it? So why don't you write the problem down, the offense, the mistake, whatever is done. So gave the woman a notebook and the husband a notebook. The woman said, thank you, pastor. You will see what he's been doing. I can't even tell it all. So work started. The woman was writing profusely. 9 a.m. he was late. 10 p.m. he didn't greet me. All kind of things. The notes were full, page full, cover to cover. We don't know what the man was doing. On the very day of bringing the notes back, the pastor, okay, let's bring the note, let's see what, so that we can solve this problem. The woman was excited. The pastor, you won't believe it. Hey, pastor, look at the note. By the time the woman dropped the note, it was full of stuff. Wrote in pen, wrote in pencil, wrote in red pen, wrote in black pen. Then wrote in kitchen, wrote in the bathroom, all of the offense of the man. The pastor said, that's great. Man, let's have your note. All the things your wife did against you. And the husband gave the pastor his own notebook. There was nothing there from first page, the last page. The pastor said, is this a mistake? Is this the note? Did I say, yes, pastor, that's the note. The woman said, no, pastor, that must be a wrong note. The note did stuff. What happened? You didn't say, the man said, I decided to forgive you. And why should I be right not there? Oh, what a good man. Amen. Love is forgiving. So stop writing things down. Start forgiving them. Don't be like this one Spanish general who on his deathbed, lying to die. And the confessor asked him and said, man, have you forgiven all your enemies? Before I give you the last rite, the general looked astonished and said, Father, I have no enemies. I have shot them all. No one is left to be forgiven. Have you shot all your enemies? Forgive them. Come on, say with me this morning, I forgive everyone. Come on, if you have had difficulty saying it, I cannot forgive that one. I forgive. Come on, say with me, I forgive. Everyone who offended me. How many of you mean what you are saying? Raise your hand to me. You really mean it. Say, I forgive them for now. Tomorrow I will pick it up. After church, I'll take it up for a while. I forgive them now and tomorrow. I forgive them for the rest of their lives. Can you say you forgive them? Sometimes it's hard to forgive, especially people who have wronged us so badly. People who pour some insult into our lives, who made a big damage into our existence. But forgive the most. Praise the Lord. Amen. We're going to figure out what's making this. Amen. Praise the Lord. Number three, what must this love do? What kind of love we must have? This love must be compassionate and kind. Compassion and love are synonymous. Kind and loving people, they go out of their ways every day to help others. As we think of Christmas, let's think of what can we do to make it easier for our fellow men. As simple as cleaning the toilet for somebody who needed it. As simple as encouraging someone who is down. Some people who profess Christ, they are mean and callous. But we need to be people who are kind and compassionate. Every seed of kindness you sow into others' lives will soon be ripe for harvest. Do good to others. You may never know when your harvest will be rewarded. Even as simple as cleaning the toilet for the next person coming. I had a similar experience recently. I was flying from Africa when I was coming my last trip. So I went to the bathroom where everybody used, the plain bathroom. The last man who left, I saw him left. So as soon as I entered, the old place was like a hurricane, tornado. The man made a mess. The countertop was watery. The seat, the floor, everything. I said, what did this guy do? He was like, just came around and messed up things. And he went away like that. So my natural instinct is I'm just going to tiptoe and do what I need to do and watch. And then the Holy Spirit said, son, what would Jesus do? Now, Jesus will not leave this the way he meant it. The first thing I did, I didn't know why I was doing it, it's not for Jesus. I took paper towel, I wiped it. Can you imagine me that? In that bathroom, I wiped the countertop, I took another set of towels, I wiped the floor, I wiped the seat, I did all of that, and I was not the host or hostess. Why was I doing that? The love of Christ. Are you with me, church? That is what love does. It makes it better for the next person coming. Love is not selfish. Love does not think of himself alone. Love is not self-centered. Love gives. That's the fourth thing. As we close, love is giving. Love is sacrificing. Love is an action word. Love gives. When you love, you will give your time, yourself, your resources. Love holds nothing back. Everything in life is not meant to be hoarded. They are meant to be shared. Some people, they just take and take and take and never give back. But love wants to give. God loved the world and he gave. Giving is the mark of life. Nothing is too much or too big for a loving heart to release. Love is sacrificing. Love walks the extra mile. Greater love hath no man than this. Jesus said that a man lay down his life for his friend. Love isn't love if you are not willing to sacrifice something for it. Love is real. May the Lord birth that love afresh in our heart this morning as we close. Love always wins. That's my last word. Love always wins. It wins at last. Love wins eventually. Hatred will poison your life. Revenge will mess you up. Bitterness will contaminate you. But love will always win. Amen. Let's rise together as we pray this morning. May God birth that love in your heart. May the Lord fill your days, your heart with the love of God. Love is an action word. Love wins all the time. There was the story of 5 missionaries that went to the Orkan Indians in Ecuador many years ago. That was 1956. 5 of them, they were missionaries. Their names were, I won't give you their names because of time. When they got there in Ecuador to show the love of Christ, they shared love with these people, but they didn't return love. They went after them. They killed them one by one. In fact, one of these missionaries had a gun in his hand. He could have shot them. But he left the gun. He didn't shoot them. He allowed them to kill him. 5 of them laid their lives in Ecuador. Years after, the wife of one of them decided that the death of our husband will not be in vain. Let's go back to the people who killed our husbands. So they went back. One of the wives led the team. The same set of people who killed their husbands came to them with repentance, with sorrow. One of them confessed, I'm the one responsible for the death of your husband. I want to give my life to Jesus. Because of those 5 missionaries, Ecuador has known the gospel. That is what love does. Love wins at last. I don't know what it is you are struggling, your family. You're not greeting somebody. Some of us have issues with our parents. Say, no, I'm not greeting them. I'm out of their lives. But love wins. Love will always win. Are you with me, church? If it's somebody around your life who is ugly, who is despised, is just mean and difficult, go after them with love. Are you hearing me, people of God? Especially this Christmas. Come on, say, go after them with love. Go after them with love. I was telling somebody just yesterday night. I said, lady, why don't you give that fellow a call? Give them a call. She said, no, pastor, I'm not calling them. They are the one who need to call me. Say, but they've been trying to call you. They said they were not getting. Say, no, I'm not chasing after anybody. I said, wow, why don't you make a little difference? Surprise them with your text. They are not expecting it from you. But suddenly, wow. Somebody who had not been greeting you, buy them a pot of rice. and shrub on the end. I say, what? That is love. Are you with me, church? Somebody who know that you hate them, and they also know that they hate you. You know that people like that. Both of you know each other from afar. When it's coming that way, take the other way. Why don't you surprise them? Buy them a flower. Say, what? Buy some flower. Love always wins. One husband bought flower for his wife. Somebody taught him, if you want to win the heart of your husband and your wife, go buy some flower. So he went, invested in flower. The woman was all over the place, busy. The man has been very bad, nasty, doesn't help at all. So, one faithful afternoon, he bought the flower, knocked the door of his own house, and as he was there, with baby in her hand, with the stuff on her head, all of that thing, and the man opened the door, said, hey, this is the flower. The lady looked and said, are you crazy? Are you out of your mind? Did you lose your mind? I can't imagine you and flower. What you and flower doing? Because she has never seen it like that. Surprise somebody with kindness. Hold somebody's hand. Come on, let's pray together. Love, come and say with me, love always wins. I say love always wins. May the Lord birth that love in your heart this morning. Come on, pray with me. May the Lord fill my life with the love of Calvary. I receive this morning unusual enablement to exercise agape love in my life. I banish hatred, animosity, and a desire for revenge in my life. In the name of Jesus, Lord, fill my heart with the love of Jesus. Fill my family with the love of God. Fill our homes with the love of Christ. Fill our church with the love of Christ. This morning, go show somebody love. It is the wonders of His love. Father, thank you. Let love fill our lives. Let love fill our hearts. Let love fill our homes. Let your love fill our nations. Where hatred and animosity and bigotry is all over, let love fill our home, our nation, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, this morning we forgive those who offended us. We release them and we still let them go in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you for your pardoning. You have pardoned us, so we pardon everyone who offend us. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Now turn to that person and say, yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Yes, I love you. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord, of the Lord. I can see all over you the glory of the Lord. Yes, I love you with the love of the Lord. Now give me your hand. You are my sister, please give me your hand. You are my brother, hey, please give your hand.
Thank you for listening. Stay blessed.